Fix the Browns. Fix the Browns. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. We've got a couple ideas. First, my epiphany that we had during the jumpstart, because you brought up, or did I bring up Jason Kelce's? I brought it up.
Of course. Wait, I'm sorry. Dan's, just laugh, make sure. Dan's laughing out loud. Who brought up a Kelce?
I noticed you guys have been
on this show. Who might that be?
You guys have been teaming up on me lately,
who
and I've noticed this.
A lot of backgammon.
I'm not feeling good about it. You guys are not. What are you playing? Online backgammon? Is that what you're doing?
Are you the long-lost Kelce brother?
I don't know.
Are you the older one that got kicked out of the house?
But wait a second. Listen. Listen to my idea. I had this epiphany last night because I couldn't sleep because I was – some things keep me up at night. I'm a little concerned about the speech I have to give Thursday morning when I'm not here.
Gee, why is that, Andy?
Because I'm being inducted into the Hall of Fame at Cleveland Heights.
Oh,
so, and the people that were there before me, obviously, the Kelce brothers, they've gone in. So this is my epiphany. I just had it last
segment. They're younger than you. What took you so long?
You're mean.
That's really mean. That's really mean.
I didn't play in the NFL. I did sidelines for a couple years, but I didn't play. I'm very proud
of you.
Yeah, thanks. Whatever. You don't
care. Woodridge doesn't know why I exist.
I offered you guys tickets to come to the banquet. You guys both were like, see ya. I know where our friendship stands.
I've got to wash my hair that night.
Yeah, of course you do. Hair, singular. Thank you. Strand.
It's tough to get the one guy clean.
Yeah, I know. So I've heard this. So, all right, listen.
We are very proud of you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. You need to tell me if this would go viral. So here's what I need to do.
Okay.
At the end of the speech, right, throw on my varsity jacket, which I have no idea where it is. In fact, I think I left it in Montana. But throw on my varsity jacket, the same one that the Kelces wore when they were being inducted. They both wore theirs, right? Chug a beer and crush it against my head at the end. And then say, hey, Tony! You think it would go viral?
Yeah, after you crushed the beer on your head and you knocked yourself out and you were cold on the floor with blood coming out of your forehead.
Would that go viral? Would that be
that
something?
That would definitely go viral.
You think that would go viral?
Under my scenario, it would.
No, I don't think it would.
You don't think I'd go viral?
I think you just have a lot of concerned people.
No way.
It doesn't fit you. That's not your reputation. That's not how you operate.
The Kelces are making $100 million on a podcast.
Is there a neurologist?
If I came back.
Around, we need Andy checked out.
It's not your reputation.
Have you noticed
how thick my skull is?
That's
You've had conversations with me before.
It's not your reputation. It doesn't fit you.
You don't think so?
No. It doesn't fit you.
Meredith, would it go viral? All I've got to do is at the end of the speech, just go, hoi toi, chug a beer, and smash it against my head. Only if I'm wearing a varsity jacket, though. Should I do it? Would it go viral?
It's hard to tell what would actually go viral nowadays because you could do something really interesting and funny and no one will see it. Or you could, I don't know, say something stupid and everyone is going to latch onto it. It's very, like, virality is very, very weird nowadays.
Oh, man. All right. I was just trying to, you know, jump on the Kelce's bandwagon. By the way, his dad's got a podcast out. He's going to join us here. Ed's going to join us here as soon as we make contact with him.
Certainly don't Andy Bastion.
That's right. He is a friend of the show. Fix the Browns, Jeff Phelps, 216-474-0092. The coach says they can be fixed. Can they?
Yes.
We'll get it fixed.
Yes.
Okay.
I think there's one thing that can happen more than anything that will help this team.
And that is?
If you can get it into Deshaun Watson, which they didn't really do in Houston, to get rid of the football more quickly. I think that more than anything helped this team. And if you're not going to have them get rid of it quickly, then roll them out a little bit. Little more motion out of the shotgun, move the pocket. Don't just stand back there and look downfield. If you're going to be out of the shotgun and stay in the pocket, get rid of it fast or roll them out and move the pocket. Either way.
Isn't that what you bought, though? Isn't that what you bought? That's what you
What do you mean,
you
what
getting.
Did I buy?
Well, when you bring Deshaun Watson in, you bring him in because he can extend plays and he is going to hang on to the ball a little bit longer. In fact, he's the same quarterback that led one of only six teams back from an 0-3 start to make the playoffs and have an 11-win season when he was in Houston. So that's what you bought.
Yeah, and he
when
also
you
went 4-12 in what was his best statistical year.
I don't know.
The guy was terrific in Houston.
Right.
But he got sacked like crazy.
Right.
And
you knew that.
Okay. he's not going to last. He's not built like Lamar Jackson. He's not built like Josh Allen. He's built like Deshaun Watson. You have to reduce the number of hits that guy takes, and you have to reduce the time that he holds onto that football before he throws it downfield.
But if you think somehow, some way, when you signed Deshaun Watson, you knew exactly what you were getting.
Get back to my point.
Okay.
Do you think he needs to get rid of the ball more quickly?
Absolutely. I should say that's day one.
But there's really no argument to that point.
The argument to the point is what the Browns think. The Browns know what they were bringing in here. Okay, they knew that they were going to get a guy that's going to hang on to the ball a little bit too long and take sacks. You just laid it out perfectly. Excellent argument, Mr. Phelps. Advantage Phelps.
Hey.
But the point is that the Browns knew that, and so in some ways they accepted that because they uprooted the entire offensive staff, or at least the major players in the offensive staff, to be able to give him what he needs to be a better quarterback. Well, so far through three games, we're nowhere near that. Now, do you want to say we want to go with the preseason theory on this? Oh, he just needed to get back up to speed. Do you want to go with everybody on the offensive line is injured? Do you want to go with their second leading receiver is out? Do you want to go with they don't have their best running back? They're all there in front of you. And I wonder what it'll look like if they can get back to that. The question is it going to be too late in the season because they may have piled up too many losses by then? Or is Deshaun even going to be able to walk upright after getting flattened on his back left and right? They went out and changed offensive coordinators, right? They made other moves on the offensive staff to what? Why? Why did they do that? Why did Van Pelt, after last year they made the playoffs, why was he suddenly not working? Why?
Why did they change running backs, Coach?
Why? Yeah, I don't know. I'm asking.
They wanted to get better.
Did they?
I don't know.
And are we sitting here with all the reasons I said on the outside?
It's a three-game sample size. So that's, you know, it's a three-game sample size. Right now it doesn't look better.
You think this team's closer to 3-0 or 0-3 from what we've seen through three games?
That's difficult to say. They beat a Jaguar team that just isn't very good right now. They should have won against the Giants, and they didn't. And the Cowboys smoked them, and they deserve to get smoked in that game. I honestly think the team should be 2-1.
Okay, so why did they lose? Did they get out-coached? Why do you think that? Like, the more I get away from that game, the more I think they did get out-coached. Especially early in the game.
I think out-coached is true. I think outplayed is true. I mean, they just lost in every aspect of the game.
And how did they lose that game? I'm still asking myself that. And I say a lot of this stuff based, you know, as you get farther away from the game and you watch other games, you're like, where are we? Where are the Browns? I think Cincinnati's a way better team than the Browns are right now, especially offensively. I mean, I don't even think that comes into question. Yet they're sitting at 0-3.
You think Cincy's a lot better team than the
Browns? I think offensively they're a better team than we are.
Well, I think that's true.
You know,
defensively, I don't think they're anywhere close, at least not yet.
Yeah, I think our defense is better. I mean, the other thing that got lost in the weeds is the fact the defense didn't give up any points in the second half. Now, I know they ended the game on the one-yard line. They easily probably could have punched it in for another touchdown at the end.
Well, they did have a touchdown, but Singletary went down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Thus making gamblers all across America quite mad.
Oh, really? You have insight into this.
Yeah, apparently the over-under. Right? I mean, if he had scored, it would have gone one way. Instead, it went another.
He took the win, though.
Oops.
I don't know. That's about why you're there, not about the gamblers. Curtis is in Cleveland. Hi, Curtis.
Hey, man. How you doing, Andy?
Good. How are you?
Man, I'm all right, man. Hey, listen, I ain't never seen a quarterback win a game when he gets sacked 8 times. And when the problem with the Browns, when they fix him, make the receivers catch the ball. Like, they got through with 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. In spite of the fact that the Browns lead the league in drop passes, they can't catch a cold, they can't block, they can't protect him, they can't run the ball. This is not Deshaun Watson. This is not the coach either. These guys who they got on the field are supposed to be blocking, supposed to be catching, need to do their job. And they started out last year 2-2 and won now the last 13 games. So we're not concerned with the Ravens being 1-2 or the Browns being 1-2 or even the Bengals being 0-3, which, by the way, Jeff, the Browns are beating the Cincinnati Cats 9 out of 12 games. Just so you know that. But at the end of the day,
thank you, Curtis.
Do you think if the Bengals and Browns played right now, who would win? The Browns?
The Browns. They always beat them.
I don't know, man. Joe Burrow looked pretty good last night.
Joe Burrow has never beaten the Cleveland Browns.
Doesn't matter. I'm telling you today.
I'm telling you, they cannot beat Cleveland.
Well, we're not going to have to worry about that until October 20th.
That's true. You get this twice. Today, I don't feel like the Browns could beat the Bengals.
Did Deshaun Watson beat Joe Burrow last year by 20 points? Just like he did Lamar Jackson?
Well, I mean, they're on the opposite sides of the ball, aren't they?
Come on, man.
Come on, Curtis! Come on, Curtis. All right, we love you. We'll talk to you later. Have a good day, Curtis.
Thanks, Curtis.
Curtis in Cleveland checking in. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. We're asking you, fix the Browns, the offense and the defense. Can it be fixed? I think the best remedy would be to, I don't know, petition the league and ask them if they can give us the bye week this week. Because I'm concerned about Myles Garrett more than anything else, and I want to make sure he's healthy. Because the feeling I got yesterday from that press conference was, you know, on top of all the things we heard about his feet last week, I'm worried about Myles Garrett. And
sounded like more than his feet.
Yeah, it did. So yeah. I think that's kind of where we sit right now. But you get the opportunity. We're going to let you fix it. 216-474-0092 or on the X, you know that, at CLE Talking Heads. Mary Kay Cabot's going to join us in about 17 minutes, so we will talk to her there, you know and love her, from Cleveland.com, as she covers your Cleveland Browns. All right, let's answer the question, as Jeff and I did in the first segment, how do you fix the Browns? And, you know, I believe everything starts with the offensive line. I just don't know how you're going to fix health on that offensive line. And when you bring guys in, you're trying to bring in guys with experience, but if they have experience and they're any good, why aren't they playing for somebody else? So I don't think this is going to be a quick fix, and I think we're going to have to survive until these guys get a little bit better and a little bit healthier. And I'm concerned that this team isn't going to find their groove until, I don't know, a couple weeks in. Wouldn't it be great to get good news about Nick Chubb after week four? I would love to hear that.
Wait.
That would make me happy.
That's really wishful thinking.
All right, we asked, and you decided to call in. John is in Mayfield. Hi, John.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Good. We're hanging out.
Yeah, that's how it is. Just curious. Everyone's talking about Watson. I'm not a huge fan of him. Everyone's asking questions about Stefanski, but what's Dorsey's role in all this? I mean, he left the Bills, and now the Bills are – their offense is exploding, and they weren't supposed to be with Diggs gone. And so I know that's Josh Allen at quarterback, but I'm wondering if Dorsey is an issue for us, and I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are.
I think it's too early to call him an issue, Andy.
You mean John?
No, yeah, I'm responding to you and John. I threw your name in. John, sorry about that. Didn't mean to leave you out. I think it's too early.
I mean, you know? He didn't leave either. He got fired from Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay. So not like he said, we got this great opportunity in Cleveland.
I just think it's too early to say that it's not working here. It's three games.
So what week would you say if Browns finish go 2-5 the next five games? Two and three the next five games? Would we consider, do you think, making a change?
It depends. What's the offense look like?
And the other
is
part
your
of
offensive line
like...
all beat up? You know,
he's not calling the plays either.
I can't draw any judgments on what's going on with this offense as long as this line is a disaster.
John, thank you. Appreciate it. Mike Painesville, how are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. You guys are well?
Thank you for calling. We appreciate
it.
We
are. Thank you.
All right. All right, you guys were asking earlier, is this on the coach or is this on the players? I think I have the answer. Now, somebody might have said this already, but play this one out. It's the fourth quarter. The Browns are on, the 39-yard line. They go for it, and they fail. Am I right so far?
Yep.
All right. That turns the ball over to the Giants with, 4 minutes left in the game?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What would be the conversation right now if they actually made that field goal? We'd be hanging this one around the coach's neck. He just put his 10 points down.
There are things that have – there are all kinds of things. I keep going back to the two-point conversion. And you're right. Things happen in a game all the time.
I didn't have any problem with the two-point conversion.
I know you didn't. Yeah. I mean, there are coaching decisions that happen all the time. I don't think a coaching decision cost you this game, clearly, and that didn't. But this thing has to get healthy. And if it doesn't, there are going to be some issues. they're going to have to figure some things out on that offensive line. And now with Wyatt Teller out, I mean, Wyatt was one of the three guys who was healthy. So, you know, you can talk coach decision this, coach decision that all the time. I think it's much bigger than that.
Well, I'll give you one. Brian Daboll made the coach's decision that they were going to attack the Browns offense through the offensive line right up the gut. They didn't care, and that we were going to go be able to do that. So Brian Daboll made a good decision. The heavy reliance on passing against running against a team that struggles against the run left a lot of people befuddled at the end of the game. And there was one other thing. Just the adjustments that they needed to make in the first half when covering a very, very hot wide receiver didn't happen, and they talked about that on the morning show.
Yeah.
And that was talked about on the morning show. So I don't know.
Rodney McLeod.
Yeah. So I'm still wondering. All right. Let's fire that up.
Everybody lines up in their same spots. You know, Ward is going to be on the left. MJ's going to man the right, and G News is going to be in the slot. And they accept that challenge. And we have confidence in everybody that lines up on that field. So we've never been a matchup style defense, and we're not going to start doing that this year.
Is that okay? They needed help against Malik Nabers.
Okay.
That should have been they figured that out in the second half, because I don't remember Nabers doing a whole lot in the second half.
Let me throw this one at you. Have we ever had any major complaints about the cornerback play on this team with this defense? Exactly.
No.
And
no.
that's – so I'm
But that doesn't
I'm okay
mean you
that.
Can't make an adjustment if you see something is going sideways.
Dano?
Not until the Houston Texan game of last year.
Yeah, in the playoffs it wasn't.
The Houston Texan game of last year was the first one where everybody was like going, okay, what in the world's going on here?
But I think overall the corners on this team are the least of the worries on this team. I think.
But even your best players need help every once in a while. It's not, you know.
Well, sure.
I mean, it was clear
that
as day.
That doesn't mean you don't make some adjustments.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
But you don't necessarily, like maybe a slide of safety over.
Okay.
You know, something like that. But if this is the way they play where – okay, Denzel's on the left, and Greg's in the slot, and MJ Emerson's out on the other side, on the right side. Okay, everybody's been screaming, rightfully so, about what a great draft pick MJ Emerson was and how he's developed as a corner coming in the third round.
But
terrific. And just because there's one bad game and one guy who's clearly very good, lights it up.
Right.
I think it's up to the defensive coordinator, defensive coaches to make some adjustments there.
Right, early on. Because, look, the way Nabers was beating the Browns, it was like, okay, round peg, square hole, right? And it didn't fit. And who knows, you might be able to adjust that, even on one or two. But it seems to me, like listening to that soundbite, is that they are going to take the round peg and keep putting it in a round hole, and the square peg and putting it in a square.
But that's okay. But you can still make adjustments without swapping your corners all over the field.
Yeah, and you're right. I'm talking about sliding somebody over, give him help. They needed help. He just obliterated our backfield.
Except for one thing. Yeah, he was really good. And yeah, they had trouble with him. It's not like he had 180 yards receiving. I mean,
what do you have in the first half?
He was really good, but he finished at what?
Like I said, maybe they did make that adjustment in the
78
second
yards, something like that in the game.
But
couple touchdowns.
Then you're also coming off a game one with CeeDee Lamb going nuts.
But you're talking about a really great up-and-coming young guy in Nabers and perhaps the best wide receiver in the league in CeeDee Lamb. It's not like you're talking about, you know, guys who are just middle-of-the-road wide receivers.
I agree with you completely. But when your offense is sputtering, right?
I can't argue.
Your margin of error on the defensive side needs to be all world.
Well,
and they were all world last year.
We talked about that yesterday.
Right. And are taking the step back that they should take, that every team takes. But the problem is your offense is sputtering so poorly that it's shining a light on a defense that instead of being one is like five.
Well, as we talked about yesterday, the defense right now, all of the rankings through three games, pretty much middle of the pack. That can't be the case because the offense is down low. This defense has to carry this team. I mean, it did for a good portion of last season, no question. And this defense has to be top-notch or this is going to be, there are going to be issues all season long. And so far, it hasn't been. And it was 78 yards for Neighbors. I mean, he was really good.
But see, he was 6 for 6 for 66 yards in the first half.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that it seems like...
Well, they didn't put up a point in the second half.
Right. But they didn't go... So maybe the adjustment was made...
Maybe.
...to make it harder. But it's almost like, okay, could they have made that adjustment maybe at the end of the first quarter rather than at the end of the second quarter?
You gave up 21 points. You should win that game.
Well, that's true, too. Constantine is in a car. What's up, Constantine?
How are you, sir? It's an honor to be on your program. A very short background. I am an immigrant from Eastern Europe, 34 years in America. And for me, obviously, favorite sport was soccer and hockey. And since I live in Cleveland, I became heartbroken Browns fan and love American football season ticket holder. My solution of Browns' problem, I think it's not very complicated. For 25 years, organization hire one coordinator after another. Good guys, bad guys, talented guys, not talented guys. My solution very simple. Finally, we should change a little bit conditions. We should hire experienced Super Bowl head coach instead mixing all the time different kind of coordinators. If I will be owner of the team, I'm going to beg Belichick to come to town, give him any power, whatever he wants, give him all money what he wants, hiring people, hiring personnel, hiring whatever he decide to do, and give him 2-3 years for changing of the team. Because we hit bottom right now. Let's face reality. We will not go anywhere with Stefanski. It's why we have so many desperate decisions, like signing Watson for 5 years guarantee, and it's not working out. Let's a little bit, if we want to have a different result, let's change procedure a little bit. This is my opinion, you know, and I will stick with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Constantine, I had a hockey question for you. You still there?
Absolutely, sir.
Give me the greatest Russian hockey player. I just want to make sure. Give me the greatest Russian hockey player.
I pretty much two of them. One of them, Valery Kharlamov, offenseman. And second was Vladislav Tretiak. I think two of them.
Very good.
Which is
I agree.
Goalie from China, 70s and a little bit 80s.
Excellent stuff. Thank you, Constantine. Appreciate it. He passed the test.
Was that a test?
Yeah, it was a test. I just wanted to make sure it was legit. I'm like, okay, so he says, like, I mean, he did. He probably picked the number one, number two of all time. Come on. You going to tell me Tretiak isn't? Come on. Frank is going to have to wait for a little bit. We're going to come back because Mary Kay Cabot is going to join us next.